Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ryan Wilson covers the NFL and the NFL draft for CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ, and the Pick 6 podcast. He joins us right now. Ryan, good afternoon to you. How you doing, bud?
Hey, good afternoon. How's it going, guys?
Really well. Obviously, now we're to the drills portion and getting the workouts and things like that. As far as getting to this point, which began yesterday, from the rumor mill standpoint, what was the biggest one that was kind of swirling around heading into Thursday of the combine?
Well, the conversation starts with Tua and what's his situation going to be with his hip. To the point where we spoke with him for a little bit early in the week, and you're watching him walk to and from the set to see how his gait looks. He looks fine, and he is one of the most upbeat, positive people, and he could convince you of just about anything. And in this case, was he's going to be healthy. He hopes to get cleared March 9th by the doctors, and then April 9th he wants to have his pro day, whatever form that takes. And there's a short turnaround. It's 2 weeks between April 9th and the actual start of the draft, where teams have to decide what they want to do with Tua, where he's going to be in their draft board. Is a team like the Dolphins going to trade up to get him if he's deemed healthy enough? And that's where we're at. Obviously, Joe Burrow is going to be the number one overall pick, presumably, unless something crazy happens. Chase Young will be number two. And then the fun sort of begins. But it starts with Tua's health and what teams want to do once they have an idea of just how healthy he's going to be.
If he was 100% healthy, didn't have the hip, you think he would go number one over Burrow?
That's a great question. And I think Burrow played so incredibly well from the first game to it's one of these things where people say, okay, which game should I watch Joe Burrow? And it's the only instance you can say, pick one. It does not matter. Tua played at an extremely high level. And in his defense, he did it for more than 1 year. The other side of that conversation is, even though there was no hip injury, how durable is Tua? He had the two broke procedures on both ankles. He had the broken finger a few springs ago. And he's undersized. He's 6 feet tall. And how many hits can he take? I think if Tua were 100%, he'd be my 1B to Joe Burrow 1A, just because Burrow was so insanely good from September to January. And it was hard to point to one instance where you could say, okay, there's an example of a guy who didn't know what he was doing on that play. That almost never happened.
Ryan, let me continue that for a moment and focus on Burrow with this. Other than just playing for a year, when you break down his game, like, we haven't heard much like, well, he doesn't do this well, he doesn't do that well. What are the knocks on his game itself, other than just not having a very long resume?
And well, I actually asked him about that long resume, and I'm sure he got that question a bunch this week. And he said, what you have to understand is that I got to LSU from Ohio State late in the process ahead of the 2018 season. So I didn't come in January. I came in late in the spring, early summer, and I had to acclimate that quickly. I hadn't played in a long time because he sat on the bench at Ohio State. And once that came together, we sort of saw it at the end of the 2018 season, and obviously in 2019. But in terms of physical, and he sort of alluded to this, he knows that his arm strength isn't Justin Herbert arm strength or Jacob Eason arm strength. But you can watch almost every one of his throws and feel comfortable that he can make those throws because he's incredibly smart. And he made this clear. He goes, I don't make the same mistake twice. And you can't find that. Talk to Christian Fulton and Grant Delpit, two of the defensive backs on LSU that could be first-round picks. And they said it was so frustrating going against him in practice because he didn't make the same mistakes twice. He didn't throw interceptions. And it was hard for them to do what they wanted to do, which typically ended up happening on Saturdays when they faced other quarterbacks. So arm strength's a concern. The hand size thing, I don't think it's a big deal, sort of overblown. I think Burrow handled it perfectly with that tweet he sent out. But other than that, I don't know what you would point to as a clear indication that you have concerns about Joe Burrow, NFL quarterback.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ, of course, at the Combine, covering the players there, the draft, of course. Ryan, would it be crazy to think that if this was like a bold projection, Jordan Love could be the best quarterback out of this class?
No. I hesitated a little bit just because I'm afraid to say anything bad about Joe Burrow. But we don't know about Tua's health. there's a conversation to be had about whether Jordan Love goes ahead of Justin Herbert.
Wow.
Here's the thing with Jordan. Well, I talked to Darwin Thompson, the rookie, or now finished his rookie season in Kansas City, talking to him at the Super Bowl. He played with Jordan Love at Utah State. And I said, what happened in 2019 with Jordan Love, who by all indications had a terrible season, as opposed to 2018 when he played really well and got on scouts' radar? And Darwin said, it's pretty simple. We got a new coach after I left. We had a bunch of playmakers leave, running backs and receivers, and the offensive line was new. And I asked Jordan about it at the Senior Bowl, and he said, I tried to do too much. That's exactly what happened. And Darwin actually brought this up without me prompting it, and people don't believe me, but he said he reminds me a little bit of Patrick Mahomes. And if you look at Patrick Mahomes' stats at Texas Tech, they don't blow you away. He had 15 interceptions his next last season there. Jordan Love had 17 this year. So it's not an indication that he can't change. He's physically gifted. And he goes to the right system, and that's the thing. You can't just throw him out there to Miami in week one and expect him to be Patrick Mahomes or some facsimile thereof. But if he went to a place like the Saints, sat on the bench for a year with Sean Payton and watching Drew Brees, and you put him out there in year two or maybe even year three, I think you're on to something. And I think he has more upside than Justin Herbert, who's also physically gifted, and maybe more upside than Joe Burrow physically. But, again, I just hesitate to say anything bad about Joe Burrow.
Ryan, before we get into the Browns and some of their specific needs and who's there that you've seen, I got to ask you about Jeffrey Okuda because he tweeted this out, and of course here's big Ohio State country here in Northeast Ohio. You said we probably talked to 30 players this week at the combine, and none of them exuded more confidence than Jeff Okuda. Elaborate on that a little bit, if you would.
I love Jeff Okuda so much. I loved him before he even got here, and then we spoke to him, and he is mature beyond his years. And he plays cornerback beyond his years as well. And he's not arrogant. He's just extremely confident. And it makes sense when you watch him play and he's dominating guys left and right week in and week out. And that's what came across when we spoke to him today at CBS Sports. And he was my number one cornerback coming in. He feels like a top five pick to me. He's one of these guys that you can feel pretty confident about. And it's not something where you're, okay, he's 5'10", so he played really well at the college level. Can that translate? I think he measured 6'1" today. He may have been around 200 pounds. He's going to run extremely well. Checks every box when you just go down the checklist of physical things you want. But he can also cover, and he can cover in any scheme against any type of wide receiver. And that confidence is going to go a long way to the next level in terms of just dealing with the failures that cornerback experience on every single play, whether you're Patrick Peterson or whether you're the seventh-round pick trying to make a roster. He is one of my favorite players, and he only confirmed that with our conversations today.
Where do you think Isaiah Simmons ends up going in this draft? Could he fall to Cleveland at 10?
That would be great. Another guy. I have like 12 guys that are top five picks. I think he's a top 10 guy for sure, and it's very easy to like what he does because of how versatile he is. And we talked to him yesterday, and he said his versatility was what makes him so valuable, whereas 10, 15 years ago, coaches would be telling him to gain 10 pounds or 20 pounds to play linebacker, whereas now he uses that to his advantage, and we saw it sort of week in and week out. The idea of him falling to Cleveland is one that should be very intriguing for Browns fans. I know the offensive line needs help and potentially edge rusher and all that, but his versatility, his speed, his ability to cover, all those things, and he plays linebacker safety. He can rush off the edge. He compared himself to Von Miller, among other things. So I think he, again, is a fantastic athletic talent. He backed it up with the way he played against some of the best teams in the country. And he could slip to 10 if there's a run of quarterbacks early. But if you told me he went 5 or 6, I would believe that too.
I know you guys talked to him. You mentioned it there. I saw your video on CBS HQ. So he grew up in Kansas. He played like wide receiver and DB in high school too, right? I mean, that shows you his athleticism.
Yeah, he only played 4 positions at Clemson. He played 11 positions on each side of the ball at Kansas.
Yeah.
He admitted, I think he said he may have been a 2-star recruit, 2 or 3-star recruit at Kansas. He says, listen, no one's coming to Kansas to recruit. Dabo Swinney obviously came in there and found him. And, last year watching Clemson, when they had all those first-round picks on the defensive line, even then Isaiah Simmons stood out. And you sort of said, well, keep it on this guy because he's something special. And we sort of saw that. I'm interested to see how fast he runs because I think it's going to be eye-popping, but we're in a day and age where all these guys seem to run fast, and that's just the way the NFL is going.
Ryan, we'll get you out of here with this, and always appreciate your time again. Ryan Wilson covering the NFL and the NFL draft for CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ, and the Pick 6 podcast, courtesy of the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, the offensive line, obviously we know, is a big need for the Browns, and many project them going with a tackle possibly at 10. As the offensive line gets set to work out in a little over an hour, who are you eyeballing a little more than maybe somebody else in terms of things that you have question marks or things that you're excited to see from a certain guy?
Well, Mekhi Becton out of Louisville is 6'7", 360, I think. And so you hear those numbers and you go, okay, this guy's just a tub of goo. And you roll him out there. He is so insanely athletic. And I asked him, guys like that play basketball in high school, no doubt. He said right now can go out, stand under the rim and reverse dunk it flat-footed, no problem. And you watch him play. He ragdolls guys. And, okay, that's not a big deal given his size and strength. But his footwork is it blows your mind that someone that size moves the way he does. And he credited playing a lot of basketball growing up for that reason. But he's obviously a very good athlete. But he's a guy who can come in right away, and you can use him in certain situations. He admitted he needs to get a little better as a pass blocker, but a run blocker, he's destroying people. So that's a guy that he could go top 15. Tristan Wirfs, the guy at Iowa who's much more technical at this point in his development. He can play right tackle or left tackle, and that versatility might be more attractive to Cleveland. And he could be there at number 10 as well.
Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Wilson CBS. Great work all this week. Look forward to talking to you again soon, Ryan. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.